We're banning all imports of Russian oil and gas and energy. That means Russian oil will no longer be acceptable at U.S. ports.
Russian oil ban sends global prices soaring. It's Thursday, March 10th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Jessica Stone in Washington. You'll also find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, Australia adds Russian sanctions. Congress passes aid to Ukraine. U.S. security for Baltics, free press for Afghan sisters, and deepfakes help foreign films. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Global oil prices soared Tuesday as President Joe Biden announced that the United States will ban imports of Russian energy, a move that could have a dramatic impact in punishing Russian President Vladimir Putin's regime for its invasion of Ukraine. VOA's Patsy Wirukaswara reports.
Gas prices are skyrocketing in the U.S. In California, drivers are paying about 30% more than a year ago. And it's about to get worse.
The United States is targeting the main artery of Russia's economy. We're banning all imports of Russian oil and gas and energy. That means Russian oil will no longer be acceptable at U.S. ports, and the American people will deal another powerful blow to Putin's war machine.
As President Joe Biden announced the ban, the United Kingdom said it would phase out imports of Russian oil this year. The European Union said it would reduce demand for Russian natural gas by two-thirds this year. With a supply shortage and a price increase, analysts say Moscow's energy revenue may not be greatly impacted in the short term. But ultimately, the ban is expected to be very damaging beyond the impact financial sanctions are having on Moscow.
I think it's slightly hard to anticipate the exact hit that it will take because it's going to be related to the oil and gas price in any particular moment. But a significant reduction in Russian oil and gas and coal sales is going to hurt the Russian economy because just increasing unit costs of these commodities is not going to fully make up for such a dramatic turnaround in big economies.
U.S. imports from Russia make up only 8% of America's energy supply, while the EU depends on Russia for 40% of its natural gas and 27% of its oil. Russian Deputy Prime Minister Alexander Novak spoke to the Associated Press according to Russia's conflict reporting restrictions.
It is impossible to quickly replace the volume of Russian oil on the European market. It will take more than 1 year, and also it will be much more expensive for European consumers.
Biden imposed the ban following intense pressure from both Democratic and Republican lawmakers. He has authorized the release of 30 million barrels of oil from the U.S. strategic reserves, and his officials are reaching out to oil producers Venezuela and Saudi Arabia to offset loss of Russian supply. A Quinnipiac University poll released Monday shows 71% of American respondents backed the Russian oil ban, even if it increased gas prices.
I would rather have high gas prices here than an authoritarian regime in the Ukraine.
It's a price to pay for doing the right thing.
The Russian energy ban and ongoing crisis in Ukraine have sharply increased world oil prices, with Brent crude, a price benchmark for global crude, jumping above $132 per barrel on Tuesday. Patsy Wirukaswara, VOA News, Washington.
We invite you to read more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the VOANews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on VOANews.com. How Russia's Ukraine invasion weighs on China's economy. Many Vietnamese civil society groups support Ukraine. Chinese citizens navigate uncertainty in Ukraine. Tokyo freezes assets of Russians. Hong Kong COVID-19 death rate is worst in world. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the VOANews.com website. VOA Asia continues. The Australian government has issued another round of sanctions targeting senior Russian military officers as well as state media outlets, spreading pro-Kremlin disinformation. The punitive measures are in response to the invasion of Ukraine. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
The new round of sanctions will ban the export of any Australian goods to companies or state enterprises that supply the Russian military. Australia is targeting six high-ranking Russian military commanders, who it believes are responsible for implementing naval ground and air attacks on Ukraine. Canberra has also said it would try to curb Kremlin propaganda. Russian President Vladimir Putin's press secretary, Dmitry Peskov, and other Russian foreign ministry officials, allegedly linked to state media efforts to legitimize the invasion of Ukraine, are also facing penalties. Australian Foreign Minister Maurice Payne said the government recognizes the powerful impact that disinformation and propaganda can have in conflict. The move by Australia coincides with an announcement by New Zealand to impose sanctions on Russia, a groundbreaking law enabling New Zealand to freeze the assets of those associated with Russia, has gone before Parliament on Wednesday. Professor Robert Greenberg is an expert in Ukraine from New Zealand's University of Auckland. He says Australia is emboldened to impose tough sanctions on Russia because of its global military alliances.
I think Australia, with that recent agreement with the United States and the UK on the sort of Asia-Pacific stance, is trying to play with the bigger countries more than New Zealand is. The Australian government was much more forthright and came out earlier on the sanctions. Therefore, I do believe Australia is posturing itself as a more significant player in this world stage.
Australia has already imposed sanctions on hundreds of Russian politicians, including President Vladimir Putin and his foreign minister Sergei Lavrov. Canberra has also spent $50 million to buy missiles and ammunition for Ukraine. Australian sanctions are part of a US-led campaign to financially isolate Russia and disrupt its financial institutions. Australian Foreign Minister Maurice Payne said her country and its allies were determined to impose a high price on those responsible for and complicit in Russia's war on Ukraine. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Australia's Prime Minister says he will declare a national emergency, this after floods across large swaths of the East Coast that have claimed 22 lives. Prime Minister Scott Morrison.
I've announced my intention to recommend to the Governor-General a national emergency declaration covering the severe weather and flooding events across both New South Wales and Queensland to ensure all our emergency powers are available and that we cut through any red tape that might be faced. That's the principal purpose of that declaration.
The declaration means flood victims will not have to provide identification documents to receive support payment, and in some circumstances, the federal government can act independently in areas where the state governments have not requested help. Morrison says Australia is becoming a harder country to live in because of these natural disasters. Sydney, New South Wales's capital and Australia's most populous city, located 730 kilometers south of Brisbane, has endured the wettest start to a year ever recorded. Yoon Suk-yeol, a conservative former prosecutor and relative political newcomer, will become South Korea's next president. Yoon defeated his liberal rival, ex-provincial governor Lee Jae-myung, in a bitterly contested election that many observers say was one of the ugliest in South Korea's 35-year-old democracy. With 98% of votes counted from the Wednesday election, Yoon led Lee by about 260,000 votes. At about 4 a.m. local time Thursday, Lee conceded defeat. He will become president in May, replacing Moon Jae-in, who was limited to a single five-year term. Still ahead on VOA Asia, Washington prepares to send more aid to Ukraine. Happening now in Asia, Japan has announced a new round of sanctions on Russia since its invasion of Ukraine, signaling a shift from its gentler and more ambiguous response to Moscow's seizure of Crimea back in 2014. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. So happy you've decided to join us here on VOA Asia. U.S. lawmakers reached an agreement Tuesday to send as much as $14 billion U.S. dollars in humanitarian and military assistance to Ukraine. The bipartisan effort to confront Russia's unprovoked invasion of the independent Eastern European nation follows congressional support for U.S. President Joe Biden's announcements that he will ban Russian energy imports into the U.S. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson has more from Capitol Hill.
Billions of dollars in humanitarian and military aid for Ukraine, well above the White House request, now close to being finalized by U.S. lawmakers after weeks of negotiations. A package that is likely just the beginning of U.S. assistance.
I think the world has to respond and help these refugees, and we're taking up a package that I think will just be the beginning, frankly. As my understanding is, it'll be a $12 billion package that will provide economic, military, and humanitarian support, but there will be more to come.
Ukraine's war effort got a boost Tuesday with the announcement Poland would send Ukraine MiG-29 fighter jets. But U.S. lawmakers are concerned bureaucratic delays are holding up other military assistance.
There is strong agreement supply Ukraine with the defensive lethal weapons they need. And we've done that, and our allies have done that, countries have done that, and we've been pretty effective in getting that type of equipment to the Ukrainians. So I'm a little bit baffled as to why it's taking so long in regards to aircraft getting into Ukraine. President Zelensky's made it clear he needs it.
A top State Department official told lawmakers Putin's decision to invade has subjected his people to harsh sanctions, wiping out 30 years of progress in a matter of days.
As Putin tries to reduce Ukraine to rubble, he is also turning Russia into a prison. Credit cards and ATMs have stopped working. Capital controls are biting deeply. Imported food, technology, and other goods are drying up. And the last of Russia's free press has been strangled, all while the government hemorrhages money, money that belongs to the Russian people, to fund its war effort and to prop up the ruble.
And while the decision to ban Russian energy imports will have its own impact on Americans, U.S. lawmakers from both parties welcomed Biden's announcement.
Americans are willing to make sacrifices to support the kind of Ukrainian resistance, brave, fierce, bold defense of democracy that very much resonates with Americans because of our own history. But also important are steps we can take to reduce the spiral upward of gasoline prices.
But U.S. lawmakers also continue to emphasize that American support does not extend to direct military involvement.
I don't think any NATO country, certainly not ours, is prepared to directly engage with the Russians over Ukraine.
The U.S. Congress is expected to pass a government spending bill containing that aid money for Ukraine by the end of this week. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Washington.
A Texas man who took part in the January 6, 2021 siege on the U.S. Capitol has been convicted of storming the building with a holstered handgun and various other offenses. The jury on Tuesday also convicted Guy Wesley Reffitt of interfering with police officers who were guarding the Capitol that day and of obstructing justice for threatening his two teenage children if they reported him to law enforcement after the Capitol attack. Guy's wife, Nicole Reffitt, says the verdict was, quote, against all American people.
Using my minor child as a pawn is probably the most disgusting ploy I've ever seen. Unfortunately, we had to be a part of that. And, you know, it just really opened my eyes up to the overreach of the DOJ and the effect that it will have on the American people in the long run. As long as you allow this to continue, you are all in danger.
The verdict is a milestone victory for federal prosecutors in the first trial among hundreds of cases arising from last year's riot. Read and see much more on this story at VOA Asia Facebook.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook and say hello online or on your smartphone. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, and read and share all of the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news and great features.
Happening now in Asia. China's top political leaders are meeting in Beijing this week and have announced the country's new GDP goal for 2022. It's a major benchmark that Premier Li Keqiang has said will remain around 5.5%. That's the lowest target in decades. All the big stories coming your way throughout the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has assured all three Baltic nations that NATO will guarantee their security amid fears that Russian President Vladimir Putin might not stop his aggression in Ukraine. VOA senior diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain reports from Washington.
As Russian forces continued to bomb Ukrainian towns and cities, civilians in some cities were able to evacuate Tuesday, fleeing in buses or on foot amid temporary ceasefires. Here, hundreds of civilians fled the fighting on the northwestern outskirts of Kyiv and crossed a river under a destroyed bridge to reach the capital. The United Nations says at least 2 million Ukrainians have already fled the country. In Washington, President Joe Biden announced a U.S. ban on Russian oil, gas, and coal imports, while Secretary of State Antony Blinken continued his diplomatic push to coordinate with NATO allies in Europe. Blinken this week visited Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia, whose leaders are worried about what Russian President Vladimir Putin might do next.
Considering that we are a border country to a very aggressive Russia, we need to enhance our defense posture. So far, it has been deterrence posture, but we have to have it defense posture. What it means is that we have the troops, the capabilities, but also the practice of all of them working together, which means that we also need more military exercises on the ground that we see that it all works.
Blinken sought to reassure leaders at each stop.
As President Biden said, we will defend every inch of NATO territory with the full force of our collective power. Our commitment to Article 5 is ironclad. An attack on one would be an attack on all. We and our NATO allies are prepared to meet any threat coming in our direction from wherever it comes.
In Latvia, the secretary repeated his call to Russia.
There's certainly no change in our message to Moscow, our message to Russia, to President Putin. End the war. End it now.
Blinken ended his diplomatic tour Tuesday with a stop in Paris to meet with French Foreign Minister Jean-Yves Le Drian and President Emmanuel Macron to coordinate their transatlantic response to try to end Putin's invasion of Ukraine. Cindy Sain, VOA News, Washington.
Making headlines in Asia. The return to Afghanistan of the country's first female mayor after 6 months of exile in Germany has set off a cascade of controversy, raising questions over the Taliban's commitment to women's rights. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia. For years, they reported from Kandahar, Afghanistan. Now the Anwari sisters are adjusting to a new life in the U.S. VOA's Nishaba Ashna tells us their story, narrated by Roshan Norzai.
You can't see what Negin Anwari and her sister Rangin Anwari have been through as they sit on the sofa of their temporary Fairfax, Virginia home, smiling and chatting. But the sisters, who worked as reporters at Kandahar's Hiwa TV for years, have been hurt emotionally by their abrupt departure from Afghanistan. Rangina says she and her sister had no choice but to evacuate after the Taliban took power in August.
It was difficult for me to get into the airport, but it was also difficult to stay in my country, in a country where there is no place for women, not in the government or media. Our values were trampled away, and it was very difficult for me to live there anymore.
With hundreds of journalists in exile, the Anwari sisters departed immediately, with no time for farewells, fearing a return to severe Taliban rule where women were forbidden from work and education.
The situation was so dire that I could not even say bye to my mother.
But they couldn't stay. Since the Taliban retook Afghanistan, journalists have been attacked and arrested by the Taliban, and women have been barred from working in state-run media institutions. But even before then, women risked attacks. Rangina received a journalism prize from the Foundation for Life in April 2021. However, while she was leaving the Kabul event, she was assaulted by an armed man.
I was attacked and injured the night that I received the Best Journalist's Award at the national level, and instead of celebrating my achievement, I was in the hospital.
But even from afar, the Anwari sisters say they will continue to fight for women's rights in Afghanistan.
I will always work for them. When we arrived here, our first campaign was about opening girls' schools. We posted videos on social media. We are not staying silent.
The Anwari sisters say if the human rights situation improves and women are allowed to work freely, they will return to Afghanistan. For Nasha Vashna in Fairfax, Virginia, Roshan Nurzai, VOA News.
The Islamic State is taking responsibility for Tuesday's deadly attack in Pakistan, the second suicide bombing carried out by the terrorist group in less than a week. Authorities in Pakistan said at least 5 members of the security forces were killed and up to 30 were injured when a suicide bomber blew himself up near a high-profile government convoy in the town of Sibi in southwestern Balochistan province. The bomber detonated his explosives on a Sibi road just minutes after Pakistan President Arif Alvi's cavalcade had driven past it. That's according to local security officials. It was not immediately known whether the president was the target. Technology used to make a deep fake, which is a synthetic image of a person, may soon be helping foreign language films become more accessible. Matt Dibble has the story.
How to make a movie work in another language? For decades, there have been only 2 options, subtitles or dubbing. Many viewers resist watching films with subtitles, which can distract from the action. And dubbing, which replaces a film's dialogue.
This is the first time I've ever heard the word coward applied to the valiant warrior Bomia.
Usually results in mouths out of sync with the words they are supposedly speaking. When director Scott Mann first saw a foreign language dub of a film he made,
I was kind of appalled and devastated because I saw how different it was.
This got him thinking that there might be a technological solution. He co-founded Flawless, a company that uses a kind of visual artificial intelligence to digitally modify the faces in a film to match the new words.
Mit einigen der bekanntesten und kriminellsten Familien in dieser Stadt in Verbindung bringt und
the system is taking a very detailed look and an understanding of how a certain character talks. The system is able to kind of retime those mouth movements, like subtly alter them so they fit the new dialogue.
C'est amusant, monsieur.
Flawless uses voice actors who are fluent speakers of the new language. Another company, DeepDub, uses AI to simulate the original actor's voice in the translation.
That's not something that happens to me.
No es algo que suele pasarme.
We need only a sample of 2 to 5 minutes of the actor's voices in order to create what we call a voice model.
The new technologies promise to accelerate a growing appetite for content across language borders. But in the process, the line between humans and machines continues to blur. Matt Dibble for VOA News, San Francisco.
You have been listening to VOA Asia. Like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia. You can also find us on Instagram and YouTube and at voanews.com. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Keith Lane, Chris Cascajo, and Jim Stevenson. I'm Jessica Stone in Washington. Enjoy the day.